For a brief time this week, the top trending item on YouTube was a video claiming that Parkland student David Hogg was not actually a student, but a crisis actor, and the attack did not actually happen, but was a hoax to bolster support for gun regulation. Theories about government-led false flag attacks go back a long time. Think, for example, of 9/11 truthers. But the idea that a national tragedy has been completely invented with actors pretending to be victims is a relatively new kind of cruelty. This week, Jason Kebler of Motherboard set out to find the origins of the term crisis actor and found that it first emerged in 2012, just after the Sandy Hook massacre.
So this originated on some WordPress blogs, actually. And the original place I saw it was on a post that talked about a, quote, triangulation between Sandy Hook, the Aurora shooting, and Hurricane Sandy. It also talked about time stream manipulation and, like, government holograms and things of this nature. So it's really far out there stuff.
Now, obviously, this is totally Looney Tunes, but it was picked up by someone who was actually at least nominally credentialed, that seemed to have some standing. Who was that?
Right. So his name is James Tracy. He's a former communications professor at Florida Atlantic University, and he runs this blog called the Memory Hole blog. He ran these series of posts called Investigating Sandy Hook. At first, he was just talking about inconsistencies between the official narrative and things that people were saying in interviews. But by post three or four, he had fully picked up this idea that these people weren't real.
For example, the interviews with bystanders, parents and children, seem somewhat stilted.
He suggested that some of them were, quote, itinerant crisis actors. And that's actually a phrase that comes from this theater acting troupe called Vision Box, this theater in Colorado that created this service because there were so many shootings in the United States for something called, quote, crisis acting. And they said that our trained actors will pretend to be taking part in a mall shooting so that first responders, paramedics, firefighters can practice because these sorts of services were needed in so many places.
Yeah, now this category of acting, it's been around for a long time, but it was this one company that branded their version of this crisis actors.
Yeah, so in the emergency response industry, the term that they use is role players, someone who might pretend to have a heart attack or might pretend to have gotten shot. They often put them in makeup. They, you know, give them cue cards that list their symptoms so that paramedics can practice sort of their scripts and what they need to say in a real emergency. But yes, Vision Box was the first that I could find who branded this as crisis acting.
This Professor Tracy, who has since lost his job at Florida Atlantic, I can see how he would do a blog post on it and so forth. What's the ecosystem that turns that into a widely known term of art?
James Tracy makes these posts, and they were later picked up by InfoWars, which is Alex Jones's conspiracy theory site.
Now, again, in the last month and a half, I have not come out and said that this was clearly a staged event. Unfortunately, evidence is beginning to come out that points more and more in that direction.
It starts to gain steam on the right. And then there was a reporter for the Florida Sun Sentinel who said, hey, maybe someone who's teaching the next generation shouldn't be espousing these views. So he wrote a newspaper article about it, and it soon became sort of like a national controversy. It was very quickly talked about on CNN with Anderson Cooper.
I mean, I don't even know how that would work, that the news media would somehow meet with government officials and then somehow hire crisis actors who I've never even heard of.
And, you know, it was this big controversy for a little while, and then it went away. But it's come back during the Bataclan shooting, the Orlando nightclub shooting, and all these other mass tragedies that we've seen. And it's actually been retrofitted into previous shootings where no one had actually suggested crisis actors were there in the first place. No one was suggesting, for instance, that crisis actors were at the Aurora Theater shooting, which happened before Sandy Hook. But after this conspiracy theory gained steam, people went back and said that that was fake as well.
There was a girl, a crisis actor, in Aurora, Colorado. She showed up at the Boston Marathon bombing, and she also showed up at Sandy Hook.
Now, the thing about this guy, Tracy, no matter how unhinged his theory, is that he was a professor. And this, in and of itself, seemed to give him credibility.
I don't actually believe in all these theories that are circulating about Sandy Hook, but we're going to talk to the professor before the bottom of the hour.
That was from a guy named Paul Joseph Watson, who was subbing for Alex Jones on InfoWars. Do you think if James Tracy had not been a professor but an actuary that we would be even having this conversation?
I don't think we would. I think that's a really good point. All of those original stories focused on the fact that, you know, a university professor was espousing these views. People were saying, this is so horrible, which then spreads the idea further, and eventually it became national news. This was circulating on the fringes even further out than Tracy, and no one was talking about it then. So it very well may have died had he not posted about it.
On the subject of paying attention to something that is in and of itself probably not worthy of attention, Anderson Cooper created a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Now, there are always conspiracy theorists lurking online who come up with some horrifically outrageous claims. And normally, we would not dignify these kind of claims with our airtime. These claims are obviously sickening to many in Newtown who've spent the...
It reminds me of the Mark Twain line that it takes two people to really hurt you to the quick, an enemy to slander you, and a friend to get the news back to you. Are the media culpable for taking something marginal and turning it into a thing by the very act of reporting on it?
I think there's something to that, and I think it's a very difficult question to know for sure. But we do often think about, you know, did we do more harm than good in the 2016 election cycle by, you know, reporting on these conspiracy theories that once repeated enough, they seem a little bit more plausible and take something that's very fringe and make it a little bit more mainstream. There's also something to be said for tracing these conspiracy theories back to their original source, because in this instance, you know, this was mentioned alongside holograms and time stream manipulation and things that are just patently absurd. And I think, you know, actually looking at where it originates and demystifying it to a certain degree can be valuable.
Jason, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Jason Kebler is editor-in-chief of Motherboard. He recently wrote Where the Crisis Actor Conspiracy Theory Comes From.
Coming up, when young people take to the streets, how do the grown-ups usually respond? We take a look back and ahead.
The 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was literally driven by young people themselves. And so from that sentiment alone, we had the most radical social change ever led by young people in the United States. And that's your generation, Brooke. Thank you for that.
This is On the Media.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.